Good morning, everybody. Oh, we've got another wonderful, beautiful day, 95 degree weather. Everybody loving it? No, not me either. I spilled coffee on it, so I'm not going to be wearing it today. I made a mistake. I somehow got coffee all over my jacket, so you guys get to see me without my jacket. I'm more handsome, right? Or maybe you'll just get to suffer by looking at me, but I'm fine. It's good. Rachel will take care of it, I'm sure, or the dry cleaner, one or the other. But yes, it's good to be here. It is certainly good to see all of you today as we move into the third lesson on this series, which we're going today focus on the benefits of suffering. The previous few weeks, we've talked about what suffering is like. And as I've said the last few weeks, one after another, from the moment we left the garden till today, things got hard and they stayed hard. Why is that? Largely because of one thing. It starts with the letter S and has two other letters. What is it, Thomas? Sin. Yes, we sin. We make things so much harder on ourselves. And because of sin, the world suffers tremendously. Yes, we might do things to mitigate that suffering, such as taking medicine or talking to a friend or a professional, but it's still going to be there. We even recognize, as those of us who are God's people, that in some cases it might be significantly worse. That's what sin does to the world. Actions have consequences. You sin in some way, you will, or others around you will pay for it. But we also learn that in the midst of suffering, that God is greater than us, and whether or not we are suffering because of our own actions, or the actions of others, or because we're being tested in our faith, that God is going to take care of this situation. He is in complete control of everything that happens. He sympathizes with us, but we still live in that world of sin. And though we might be disappointed in our suffering, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to diminish in our faith. But that is a warning of suffering, as people do tend to lack faith in times of need. They tend to not see the future, and so God is pushing you in the direction to remind you to rely on Him. Whether or not we suffer for our sin, or capacity of love, or because of cruelty and greed, God is there. And it's amazing, and I cannot stress that point enough. He will take care of you. Today, I want to tell you how He's going to take care of you in your suffering. Specifically, the benefits you receive in suffering. Before we do that, let's go to Him in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are and what You do. We thank You for this time that we have. We thank You for Your Son, for whom without His blood, without His sacrifice, without His own suffering, Lord, that we would not be here today. And as we continue to worship You, we ask You open our hearts and minds to what You have to teach us. Continue to be with us as we honor You with our lips and our songs. In Your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. Alright, so I want to tell you guys, to get us started, I want to tell you all about a conversation I had with my wife somewhere between 10 and 11 years ago. She's giving me that look like, oh, you're in trouble. So Rachel turns to me and she says, you know, I think I want to give birth with no medications. Have any of you women done that? Yeah, some of you, Rachel has. So she says, it's about time for Thomas to be born. And with Philip, Rachel did the epidural. And apparently she didn't like it. And so she's like, I'm going to do this natural. This is the way that God intended. And I told her she was nuts. I'm like, why would you do that when you have so many things out there to help mitigate the pain? And she's like, nope, I'm going to do it. I don't really care what you say. And I really didn't have a choice in it anyway. So she decided she went, and she drove those Chinese doctors crazy. But they did everything that she told them that they were going to do. And she gave birth to a 9-pound baby. Is that how much he was? There he is, right there. I think this is like a day after he was born. Because of all the suffering she went through the day after he was born. And I got to thinking when she told me about that verse in Genesis chapter 3, where Eve is told, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children." But that pain, that suffering they went through was temporary compared to the lifetime of suffering you will have with raising those children, right? No, compared to the joy of you will have in raising those children. The benefits of that suffering far outweighed the cost. And yes, sure, my two boys can be obnoxious. And sure that they don't listen, but we love them so much that we're able to sustain any temporary ailment that they might give us. Humans, we spend too much time chasing after a concept which really leaves us empty. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? No, not perfection, happiness. Yeah, happiness. Every human in them has a desire to be happy. This is so important to us that we as Americans wrote it into the Declaration of Independence. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them be life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And you have every right to obtain that happiness as long as it doesn't interfere with the life of or liberty of someone else. But for us as Christians, we know we're not really chasing after happiness, because our happiness comes, or better yet, our joy comes from serving God. But despite that, even though we might want happiness, we might want joy in our life, we know that that suffering is going to happen, whether good or bad, as we demonstrated last week. And since we know that there is good suffering in the world, such as bringing children into the world, there are certainly benefits. Now, what would those benefits be? Where would we see those? Well, for us, we have a great source for learning those benefits. That source is in the Bible. More specifically, it's found in two particular people. One, Jesus. Jesus is great, right? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is the person we should all aspire to live like. But Jesus is God. We cannot be God. We should want to mimic God in His ways. And though we know that He understands what it means to suffer, having suffered the ultimate price for all of our sins, He was certainly a good example for us to follow. The problem is, we can never be Jesus. So, and probably the only exception to the rule of be like Jesus, I want to say, let's look at Job. Because I can't be Jesus, but I can be Job. Do you want to know why I can be Job? Because there's nothing special about Job. Job is a human being. He is a flawed person. He has no supernatural powers at all. In fact, he's not even like Elijah or Moses, who by the power of God could perform miracles. But we see him as this ideal person, because that is how he is written. He is so faithful that God brags about him to Satan. And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Do you know that could be said about any single person on earth? Anybody. Why? Because if Job could do this, so can you. If Job could take all the suffering that is thrusted upon him, and he can make it through in the end, so can you. Because he is an ordinary person. I love that about the story of Job. I, one day, maybe, I read these words and I consider adding my name. Have you considered my servant John Paul? There is no one on earth like him. Now, you guys are looking at me like, nope, that's certainly not John Paul. I don't know there's a single person in the room who doubts that that would ever be true. But it is possible. And that's what I want us to consider when we look at the benefits of suffering. It's consider everything Job went through and know that these situations too can apply to you and your life. The first section of benefits of suffering have everything to do with faith. And what we see here is really what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, that no struggle is so great that one cannot maintain faith. What were some of the things that Job lost? Job lost his children. He lost his property. He even lost his health. What else could he have possibly lost? His life. And certainly, God was willing to take the deal all the way up to that point. Take everything from me, and he will still be the same person. Look at the crowd of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11. Again, all flawed people, all with mistakes, all tempted in their lives. But they are not remembered for their temptations. They are not remembered for their failures. They too are remembered for their faith. So we understand that in our suffering, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. He will get you through it, because he is God, and you are not. And as God, we also understand that he doesn't have to explain himself. More importantly, in suffering, our faith grows. We know the reason why Job suffered. We read Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, and maybe some of us don't even think that's fair. But nowhere in the story does God ever explain himself to Job. And he doesn't have to. But what's Job's outcome? What's his desire? He believes. Because believing isn't seeing. Seeing is believing. As Thomas Warren says, it was his desire that Job would trust him, and despite not having the answers to all of these problems. Job didn't need to know. He certainly wanted to. It's very clear that he wanted to. In fact, the text spends quite a number of chapters Job asking the question why. But in the end, it no longer mattered because he had faith. Now the benefit is we see faithfulness to God. We're not going to be shielded from tragedy. Certainly Scripture indicates that it's quite the opposite. Scripture indicates that you are going to suffer more. But God is still with you. God is still going to take care of you. I think a lot of us struggle with this next part is you either accept that or you don't. There is no in-between. Are you suffering? Have you suffered? How many of you have suffered tremendously in your life? At any point in that suffering, did God leave you? No. He was still there. And you don't even have to believe it to change the fact that he is going to get you through it. Because what can man do that God himself cannot do greater? Oh, such a great benefit that no matter what medication or help we might seek on this earth, that God's is going to be so much better. In our suffering, we learn our true value. In the story of Job, Satan says, "All right, God, you might have won round one, but in round two, I want to see skin for skin. Stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." Job got to see who he was in that moment, because there's this common belief, and I would say this is probably more often true than not, that every man has his price. And often we are just negotiating over what that is. But what Job learned in that moment is that he did not. What is your cost? And are you willing to give up everything that you believed in a few moments of suffering? Because you cannot see the future. Great benefit of learning your value in time of need, weathering that storm. In suffering, we learn the value of prayer, because you cannot walk with God if you cannot talk to God. If you will not talk to God. Yeah. James says, "Is anyone suffering? Let him pray." Pray. Talk to God. There's no point better than this exact moment than to talk to God and know that He is with you. He will get you through. Job petitioned God. Jesus petitions God in the garden. In his weakest moments we see here on this earth, he asked God, "May this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. God, may this moment of suffering pass from me. And if it has to last, carry me through it." God does not do what he does unjustly. There's this common belief among people who don't believe in God that God is a mean kid, like the guy who takes a magnifying glass and lights the ants on fire. The benevolent king smiting his kingdom. Not benevolent, but... And that's just not it. Because nothing happens that God does not allow to happen. Sure, we still live in that benefit to sin, a sin that reigns upon this earth. But every time God acts, it is for the benefit of humanity. Even the most faithful struggle in understanding this. There are so many examples in questions asked by believers, such as Abraham saying, "Shall you do what is right?" More specifically, "When shall you do what is right? Because I want it to happen right now." Take care of it, God. But John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all that is righteousness. And his silence certainly doesn't mean his disapproval of us. Job, as far as we know, did nothing wrong. But he did not give the answer. And in our suffering, we might feel lonely and abandoned. But he is still there. He was still there the moment Jesus on the cross cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" Did God forsake him? No. God was silent. In fact, after Jesus died and gave up his spirit, God roared across the heavens. There was an earthquake. The sun became dark and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. But God was still there in all of those moments. It's important to remember this, because all of this gives us hope. What bothers me most about the Job story is Job's wife. And I'm so glad that my wife is not like Job's wife. She is the most supportive person I know. And unlike Job's wife, my wife would tell me in time of suffering to pray to God, to have hope in Him. Because while there are many degrees of suffering, all suffering on this world is temporary. And we live knowing that He lives. Suffering only provides sometimes more question than answers. But the one answer we will always know is that He lives and will continue to live. And in His life, we will find everlasting life. Never be ashamed. Paul says to 2 Timothy, "Which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me." Job went through quite a bit of ordeal and hardships, and the Bible praises him for what he does. God says, "You did right." You might have been upset. In fact, you might have been borderline really angry. But you got through it. And ultimately, he was well rewarded for it. He received more than what he had before. And while that may not happen to us, any suffer here on this earth, any reward that we have in heaven, if we endure, sorry, not in heaven, on earth, we will endure and receive hundreds of folds over in heaven. Unfortunately, we tend to learn more from life struggles. We tend to learn more through the pain and suffering that we don't go through. But the benefits will outweigh the cost. No matter what happens, God is in control. He is taking care of you and watching over you. And He hopes that you have faith to endure Him until the end. And if you do, if you struggle with that, or if you need hope, we are your family, and we are here to help. And if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as John leads us in song.